So I have the privilege of speaking today. Hey, yeah, good excitement. Thank you for that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find that God speaks to my spirit and, before my intellect, there's something goes on down there. Do you ever find that God's speaking something? And you're not quite sure how to actually get it out. So that's been happening for a little while. I'm hoping that today I'll get it out. So we'll see. But I know that God's been speaking some stuff today. I just want to put up a verse, if we've got that verse. Romans 12, 1-2 in the Message. Is that one? I did really rush it, putting it in. Okay, it's not working. Never mind. So I'm going to read it anyway. Sorry, we have a few technical issues this morning. So here it's Romans 12, verse 1-2 in the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So, yeah. We're going to bring that verse up again later, so I'll give you a heads up. Oh, okay. No, okay, not to worry. Don't worry. This is why you need to bring your Bibles. Well done. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you that you are a great God. We thank you that you just love us so much. We thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Thank you, Lord, that we can. Not everyone has that privilege to be able to get together and worship you. And we do think of others who are, it costs a lot for them to get even just to try and get together around the world this morning. But Father, we thank you that we have that opportunity here this morning. And we just ask that you will speak to us. You'll speak through me, despite me, whatever way you want to speak. You will speak to people's hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, as I sort of look at you lot, I see that actually there's many people in this place, and I look around, who have put in a lot of work. Can I say that? Put in a lot of work through their lives. They spent a lot of time, maybe in this church, maybe not this church, but maybe caring for others, looking after others, in other ways serving the community and helping others throughout your life. And I just wanted to take a moment this morning to just say from God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in your life, what you've given to Him of your life. It's as I was thinking about this morning, I had this, again, it's not just an intellect thing. I had a sense of this God's big heart for everyone. I was blown away by it. It was like a sense of, we talk about, God loves us, but we use the word love so often that we can almost like diminish the word love. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just we use it so much. So I wrote some other words down to try and describe what I was feeling. I felt like His vastness, His massive heart, His indescribable, unquenchable desire for you. That's how I felt Him when I was thinking about you. And, we are all living testimonies, living stories of God's love and grace in our lives. That's powerful. We are all living stories of God. I'm not saying life's been easy. I'm not saying things haven't been difficult. But I just felt this sense that God just wants to say, you guys are great. He wants to encourage you. He wants to say, you are great. Accept it. Accept it in your heart. He is saying to you, you're great. I love you. My desire for you is immense, and I want you to know it. So that's where I'm starting. I want you to know it. And so I want you to start from that point. What I'm going to do now is take us through what I feel, and this is quite a hard thing, is I'm going to take us through the last few months of what I feel God's been saying to us. Now, I'm not going to get everything in there. It's a bit of a summary. We have started this season of prayer, and we asked that lots of people, we asked if you could share words and what God's saying to you, and we've had a number of words shared and haven't had opportunity to share them all back out again. So I'm going to pull a few things together. We've had worship times and, words through that. We've had people come speaking here, and we've had God speaking to us. So I'm just going to pull a few threads together. So forgive me if I don't mention everything you might have said. That's not the idea of it. I'm just trying to bring the themes together of what I feel like God's been saying. So he has, first of all, been saying words about listening to him and waiting for him to move. Listening to him and waiting for him to move. We've had words around resting in his presence. We've had words about him bringing the calm in the storm. We've realized it's not, he said it's not a place to stay, but it's a place that he wants us now. Chris shared about the picture we had of a game board, but most of it was dark. And we could only see one square, and God would light up the next when ready. And there was a real sense that God was leading us, like the Israelites in the desert, when the pillar of fire, and there was the smoke, the cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. That's it. I knew it was that way around. When that moved, they would move. So it's that sort of sense. And sometimes it's actually, well, for some of us anyway, it's hard to wait. For others it's easy, but for other people it's hard just to wait. It's a bit of a costly thing. I hate waiting around. I'm really rubbish. If I haven't got anything to do occasionally I get up on a Saturday morning and I think, oh, I haven't got anything planned in. I need to find something. I can't just wait and be. I have to have a job. I have to do something. Kate finds it very irritating sometimes, but it's just the way I'm wired. I like to have a challenge, something to do, something to get done. And actually, it's costly, and this is what I want to say, it's costly for us to take time to listen to God. It costs us something to listen, to take time to listen to God. So, moving on, there's words that we've had on also being real. That's what I'm going to say, on being real. And I wrote this one down. Not about becoming something we're not, but offering who we are. Be authentic and just offer ourselves. So, each of the leadership team over the last few months have actually shared different things in different weeks. But each one, I don't know if you've noticed, but each one has shared something that they've struggled with, as they've shared, a vulnerability. And that wasn't by accident. Now you're all puzzling, thinking, whoa, what was that? Well, we've got podcasts, and you can go back and listen. It's all on the website. But each person shared something that they found difficult. Or the journey they'd been on, they shared something of themselves, and that wasn't a mistake. We really believed that we needed to be vulnerable, be real. This is who we are, and that's because all of us need to be real with each other, the authentic version of ourselves, who we are. The world out there does not need religion. Sorry, but it doesn't need it. It doesn't need a set of legalistic rules. That's what I mean by saying that. It needs people, real people, who care, who through their real relationship, authentic relationship with the Trinity, know their identity and can demonstrate and be God's love to them. That's what it needs. It doesn't need a whole set of rules to jump through. It needs people, us, to show and demonstrate God's love. We have to be people who live from identity, not for identity. Big difference. We live from who we are, who we know we are in Jesus, not for something, not trying to find our identity. And we've been on that journey a lot, and we'll keep emphasizing that, but we need to be people who live from identity. James 5:16-18 says another verse. I think this came up sometimes, but make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed together. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, human, just like us. And we heard about Elijah through Claire, spoke about Elijah. He prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. And then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. The showers came, and everything started growing again. And, you know, Claire taught us that Elijah, he was honest before God. He had to be honest, and he sought God in his lowest place. And, you know, that might resonate with some of us. We may be in a low place. This is the time to seek God in our lowest place. But you also need to, and he did, he recognized God's voice. And that was the key out of that. He recognized his maker's voice. And Charles taught us last week, was it? 2 weeks ago. Yes, 2 weeks ago, sorry. On tuning our ear to hearing God's voice, hearing him. So that's another one to go back and listen to. And we've had other words, and these words tie in with also words of letting go of yesterdays and things that we may have got wrong in the past, things that have been in our lives that have been disappointments and pain, that he wants us to let go of those things. And that was a very important word. I think Donna brought part of that as well to us. God cutting back the dead branches and allowing something new. That was the worship time last week. So letting go. That's actually an active thing that we need to do. It's costly. It's costly to let go. It's costly to forgive people. It's costly being vulnerable and being real and admitting when we get it wrong. It's costly. It costs us something. It's costly. We've had words about worship. And worship has been and continues to be a significant part of this church. And a few months back, God just dropped into my heart. Again, one of these moments where I just felt that we should get together and worship. Spend time in his presence. I didn't have a plan. I didn't know why. I just felt that we needed to do it. So I sort of floated the idea to a few of the worship team because I thought, I don't really want to do it on my own. If the worship team can help me, at least we can just be together and worship if no one else comes along. It doesn't matter. So thankfully and gratefully, they were all up for it and really supportive. So thank you, worship team, for that. It was great. But the key thing is, and it really blessed me that we were together in it. There was a real togetherness of worshiping God, and it's not something we can do it individually, but there's a heart in this church about worshiping together and collectively. So it's part of our DNA. That's how I sort of see it in this church. Worship is part of our DNA. You probably remember the woman at the well, the story of the woman at the well. You probably won't remember it because you weren't there, but you remember the story. The Samaritan woman, where Jesus came along. She didn't know who he was at the time. And I won't go through the whole story, but there's one part in it where Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty, the water from the well, again and again. But anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst." That's amazing. Not ever thirst. "The water I give will be an artesian spring," that's the Message version, "within, gushing fountains of endless life." Now, We are called living waters. So this is our verse. This is our verse. It's not a mistake. It's worship is part of our DNA because it's as we connect with God that we do tap into that living water. I don't know about you, but it's not just me. Several people came up to me after the worship nights and have said, "Do you know what? I feel really refreshed after that." Or someone said, "It's just like rain. It's like rain pouring down." I think, you know, that's the thing. It's water. It's the water that connects us to God. It is a refreshment. It's like rain. It's our connection. Being in His presence is that allows that water of life to flow into us and through us. So we're never going to apologize for worshiping. And we're never going to stop worshiping because worship is key. I get excited by it because I enjoy it, but I think it is. It's absolutely key for us. Soaking and being in His presence. It doesn't matter where we are. And actually, it's actually quite tough when you're not feeling it and you're not feeling like it to actually put on the worship tape or tape. I'm so old. The worship Spotify playlist. Or actually come out at like whatever 7:30 and then it's Saturday evening. There's much better things to watch on TV, but actually it is costly. It takes effort, but it is tapping in, I believe, to something much more powerful and much deeper. I mean, for us as a worship team, it was very interesting. We were on sort of WhatsApp before both weeks actually it started, and I think everybody in the worship team was having a tough week. It was just like, felt like walking through treacle, wading through it. It was just one thing after another was coming up. And it's like, oh, we got this coming up to this week. You know, but actually, we spurred each other on. We needed it. We needed the encouragement from each other. No, this is pushing through. This is like, God's got something for us. And those are the sort of things that we were doing to each other. We were encouraging each other, spurring each other on. So sometimes we need each other to do that. Say, come on, let's do this. We can do it together. Because sometimes it is like hard. It is. It is really hard. But the benefit, the fruit of it is just worth it. That's all I can say. It's worth it. So it is. I just underline that. Actually, the things that he's saying about worship in this place, it is costly. It's costly. It costs us something. It costs us something. There's the story in the Bible of the woman who broke the alabaster perfume jar over Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. That, I think it was like years worth of savings or something like that. That it was worth years worth of income for her. That it cost her something. And other people didn't see it in the same way, but it cost her something to do, and she was worshipping Jesus. So it is going to cost us something. It's costly. It takes effort. Words, we've had words on us being an us. We've said it a few times. This is an us. We've had words about being a body, with each part valuable and important. And Romans 12, on verse 4 and 5, continuing what I read earlier, says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. It is an us. More recently, in fact last week, we heard Joy's Heart about not just being children that focusing on, but and the rest, you know, children over there and the rest of us here. That's not what she said. She was saying about we are all family. We've all got a part to play. It's not necessary. It might look different for each person, but we're part of a family from old to young. We all have a part to play, and we're all that multi-generational family. That's what God's brought us together, and that's what we want to celebrate, and that's what we want to enjoy and be part of. And so it is an us. Yeah, we've had words, people have shared words from Nehemiah and sent that to us about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And there's so much in that, and I haven't got time to unpack that today, so I'm not going to. But there is a lot in that whole story about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. But the key thing I want to pull out is they did it together. They did it as families, as groups together, but they worked together. And if you read through it, in fact, Chris inspired me because he played the Bible. I don't know if you were here that time, but he played the Bible, Bible out to us instead of just reading it. And he said that's what he does. He listens to the dramatized version of it. I thought, that's really good. So on my walk the following day, I thought, right, I'm going to put that on. Someone said about Nehemiah, I'm going to listen to Nehemiah. So I put on Nehemiah and I started on the chapter. I don't know why, but it just went on and on about such and such family did this part, such and such family did that part, such and such family. I walked for about 20 minutes and it kept on going about this family doing that. And I thought, I don't know if I got anything out of it, except I did. I realized at the end, wow, there were so many families together, working together and doing their part together. And God said, yeah, that's what I see. It's, you know, it's the family, but it's also smaller units of families together. And I'm not saying, you know, if you're not like in a nuclear family here, it's not just that. It's families as in relational connections of groups of people together. And that's really important. It's about us being together in a day-to-day life, supporting each other, as well as connecting as a bigger family. So I think there's so much in there, and we're going to look through that. But the other thing is, why were they building the walls? Why the walls? There's probably lots of reasons, but I felt God say to me, it's because they are creating a safe space. They're creating a safe place. They're building that wall so there was a safe place. And I believe that God is wanting us to go on that journey a lot more of what it means to be a family as a church. But it's that safe place. I feel like, you know, we've been and we will continue to be, and we want to be increasingly a safe place for people to be and come to this place. We want them to feel like they're walking in and there's walls that surround them. There's safety here. There's people, they the connection, but they feel safe. So that's the one thing I felt that God's saying from that. But it's costly. You're going to see the theme coming out of this. The cost, because actually being in us is about preferring one another. It's striving for unity at times. You know, striving to put the unity above being right. It's about building the walls for those families was costly. They took their time, their energies, their money, and they were building those walls as separate families. It cost them something. So it's costly. Kate and I have just celebrated our 30th anniversary. Yay, wedding anniversary, which is cool. And you may or may not know, those who've got to 30 and beyond, that 30, there's the symbol for it or whatever it is, the theme for it is pearl. That's what the 30th is. And it could mean that, I wondered why it was pearl. I wondered if it's because, like, you know, Kate might have suffered for 30 years and now the beauty has come, because that's the thing. In the pearls come from suffering. Oysters create those pearls from an irritant. You probably know this, but over time they secrete something that goes around that irritant and creates that pearl, and it's something of beauty. But really, they're just trying to get it out of their way. But and there's the heart the Bible talks about as well. But through pain, through suffering, there's something beautiful that comes, and that's the pearl. So we've got another 30 beautiful years ahead. So, but beauty comes from suffering and pain. So I do just want to take a moment here that all of the people in this room have been through pain. We've all been through pain and suffering. Maybe we're still continuing. Maybe we know people around us that are continuing through it. And I don't want to ignore that. I want to acknowledge it. Because it, sometimes we just say, oh, it's all great and lovely and dandy being a Christian. That doesn't change that we don't go through pain and suffering at all. It changes a lot of other things of who we're connected to through it, but it doesn't change all of those things. Life's still life. We have to go through it at times. We can go through it on our own or with God. But what I'm trying to say is, out of that pain, God's always doing something. He's working through it, and he believes you. He knows that you are beautiful, and out through that suffering, we grow. We can grow into something and continue to be that beautiful pearl. And that's how he sees, that's how that suffering and pain can be turned into beauty as well. And I don't want to ignore it, but I want to acknowledge it. And we need to be people who acknowledge each other's pain and suffering as well, but and stand with each other and encourage each other. It's part of being real. And we need to do that. We do need to care and be part of encouraging each other. But be encouraged that there is hope, that God is creating something in you as well. It's not for no purpose at all. So, leading on nicely, we've had words of bringing hope. Dave Ackrell has shared how God showed him that, I can't remember if he shared it here, but he shared it with me several times and with others, but he probably has. He shared how God has shown him that there are a lot of people's lights that have, over the sort of COVID years and over the years, he's felt that they've grown dim, and the flame's just a light, but it's grown dim. And it wasn't a judgment thing, he was saying. He was shared it as a real, like, care, heart thing, that through everything that people have been through, not just COVID, but the world out there, the culture out there, everything, it's really hard. It wears people down, and it's that sort of wearing down has sort of dimmed our lights a little bit. But there was hope in that God wanted to breathe on us and reignite that passion, that those things that are important to each of us. And this is part of a wider thing. We've had other words around this as well, that God wants to do a similar thing, that he wants to breathe that fire and reignite our passions. And it's not just necessarily yes, it is a passion for Jesus, obviously, that is important, but it's a passion for the things he cares about, that he loves, and it's a passion that it might be different for each person, because God's made us all different. Do you see what I mean? It might be you get passionate about something that's important to you, but allowing that, God to flow through that. Yes, what other words have we had? We've had, Stephen had a word that we were God's wedding invitations to. That actually, we were actually those invitations going out to the wedding with Jesus. Peter had a picture of an atom bomb, which was a very bright flash, and a wave of destruction followed it. And he said how opposite that was to God, that he shines brighter than that blast. He is brighter than the blast of an atom bomb, but that instead of not being able to look at it, we can look at him. We can look at him and see his face. And instead of flowing out destruction, it flows out life, and those desert areas become green. And so it's the complete opposite. And I thought that was a really nice way of thinking about it. And that is, again, what he's wanting us to do, is that's about bringing hope, that in looking to him, he is going to turn the things around us that we may feel are deserts in our lives into green. There is life coming. We've had some amazing testimonies as well over the last few months, and answers to prayer during the season. We've had Richard, who was very ill in hospital, so we've been praying for him, and it's great to see him back, and that's great. We've had I was particularly blessed. I don't want to just pick people out and embarrass people, so I'm not going to do that in a go into any specifics, but I do want to say I was really blessed by you, Mary, giving your testimony in the worship time. I just have to say, it really blessed me. If people were there, you know what she said. But it was really, really, she told a little bit of her story over the last few years, or last year, and that really blessed me. So thank you for sharing that. That was great. Again, that was, it was real. It was real. Stephen and Cora, we've seen have their house. God answered the prayer for a house. Katie and a trip to Senegal, there she is, and we've been praying for her, and God kept her safe and despite riots going on around her. We've had other people, Rebecca sharing a bit of her testimony, and Tanya and her sister. I mean, that's an amazing story. So we've had lots of things. We've had other people as well that who we prayed for and seen healed, which is amazing. So I do want to just say that God is moving already. This isn't just down the future, hope for the future, which it is. But God is doing things. And there's probably lots of stories. I love it when people get up and give testimonies and stories. It's great. But there's bringing, God wants to bring hope, and he's been giving us words of hope. But as I said, it is costly. There's been pain and suffering through that. So, I'm not going to speak for very much longer. In fact, I'm going to draw it to a close now. But there's probably a lot more things that God has said. And again, I don't want to, I'm not trying to miss out anything. But it's really hard to sort of pull all those things together. But I just want to say, summarize, I feel like God's been saying things about words about listening to him and waiting for him. Words on being real, being authentic, who we are. Words about actually worship and continuing to have that connection, allowing that living water to flow through us. Words on it being an us, a together thing, a body, which each part is valuable. And words of bringing hope, hope for the future, hope for now. So what's our response to that? I'm going to read that Romans 12, verse 1 to 2 again. We can't get it up, so I'm going to read it again. And this, I read it at the beginning, but I want this to feel like this is our response to what I'm saying. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before me. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Costs something. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's what he does. He changes us from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you. We do that by hearing his voice and quickly respond to it, being obedient to him. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, that pearl of great price. He develops well-formed maturity in you. So my challenge to you, my encouragement to you, it's a challenge, is let's continue to offer our lives to God. I know we have, I know we do, but let's continue. Make that decision today that we're going to continue to offer our lives to God. It's costly, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it to be able to drink from the living water, to allow that living water to flow through us, to allow God to bring the best out of us. We get to be part of the answer around us, not part of the problem. So let's just stand. If you've listened to me very well, thank you. I've not put in a lot of stories or jokes, or I'm not a very jokey person, but so well done. I just felt, though, this morning that I just felt that God wants us to make a response in our hearts. There's two things. I felt like God wants us to recognize, for a lot of people, just to recognize that moment that it's already been costly. It is costly. And acknowledge it. There's been a lot that people have given out. You've given out a lot to people around you, to follow him. The fact that you're here right now is that you've made it through somehow. You've made it to this point because you're here. And that's not like saying other people haven't who's not here. I know all those reasons. But the fact that you're still wanting to be connected to God, you're wanting to be part of others, part of a worshiping community with him. But just recognize in your heart that it's been costly. Acknowledge it. It's okay. And let him speak to you. And he's saying to you, well done. Well done. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. Well done. But the other thing then that I feel like he wants to do is give us a fresh filling this morning, and I'm going to pray in a minute, but as I pray, I want you to just open your hearts afresh to a filling of that living water that he wants to give you, that living water that doesn't dry up, that does refresh us, that does mean that we have something to give out to others around us. And the other thing that I want to just to, if you can, in your heart, and you may not be, and that's okay. This isn't forcing anyone, but if you can in your heart and you want to, just say to God quietly, I'm placing my life, God, in your hands as an offering again for whatever you want to do with it. So I'm just going to pray, and as I pray those things, just focus on that and speak to God as I'm praying. Father, we just thank you. We thank you I just want to thank you so much for this group of people here. For my family. And I just thank you so much that you love each one. And you have that unquenchable desire for each of us. That you love us. That you're not going anywhere. That you've been faithful. That you have shown us your grace and your love. And Father, we do recognize that it has cost something. We have given ourselves in life to others, to this church, to whatever it might be, but there's something we have given out, and that's cost us something. And we acknowledge that, that sometimes that we feel weary and we feel tired. But we also know that the refreshment comes from you. So I pray today that you will fill each and every one of us afresh with that living water. That living, unquenchable water that does not run out. Fill us afresh. As vessels that are maybe dry, just fill us afresh with that water, that rain, that living water. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your living water. And we do just want to place our lives before you. We want to give you our life as an offering. As an offering before you. We want to follow you. We want to be determined and steadfast and continue every step following you. And we just afresh commit ourselves to that. We lay our lives down. This is who we are. And we say, Father, take our lives. We offer them to you afresh. Thank you. Yeah. And we thank you, Father, that there is hope, that you want to bring that best out of us, that you see us as those pearls of great price. Something beautiful. And we just thank you for the journey that you will take us on and continue to take us on, each and every one of us, individually and collectively. And we just want to give you the thanks, the glory for what you are going to do, as well as what you've done in our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, that's it. Thank you. Shall I hand over, or just okay? I don't think I've got anything. We've got anything particularly else to say? Just a couple of notices. Hopefully you've had it in the church news, but on August the 6th, we're going to do a picnic at the Salthouse Fields. That's in faith that it's going to be dry. at 11:30. So it's a bit later so that we can have some food and hopefully some games. It's going to be family. So those who can make it, come along, enjoy that. You'll have to look at, we don't know exactly where we'll be, but you'll have to find us. We'll get there and hopefully make our presence known. And then 2 weeks after that, we're also going to do a picnic out on the school fields after a shorter service as well. So the whole idea is, again, having time to be a bit family together. So, and again, yeah, if kids are around, they can run about. We'll play some games and do some things out there. So that's it. And chairs. Yes, we can leave the chairs. So you don't need to pack them away because it's school holidays. Leave the chairs out. That's fine. If you've got some time, if you've got want to help on any of the things that we need help on, the rota is out up there. So just reminding that if you want to sign up, I think it's out there. Oh, it's not out there. We can get it out there very quick. Sorry, we were a little bit rushed this morning. So anyway, bless you all. Have another tea or coffee if there is any, and have a great rest of your day. Thank you.